I don't know about you at your house, but it snowed at our house about all day yesterday. Now, our ground was covered with a little bit of powdered sugar. You could still see the grass, but it was snowing all day. It never stopped. It just seemed like as soon as you'd think, oh, it's stopping, here it comes again. And for most of you in this service, I have a confession to make. We stayed in yesterday. We didn't do anything but clean around the house, and I was cold at my house. Those of you that know me know I'm usually hot. I was cold. Me and Caleb were downstairs playing a video game, and I had my socks on, I had a blanket wrapped around me, and I was still cold. So winter has finally hit us here in Coleman. Take your Bibles and turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to continue on with what we have been reading. We've been reading this chapter for the last 3 weeks. And we're going to finish it up beginning in verse 25. How many of you worry? Talk about confession. Chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father, we do indeed thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you, Father, for your presence here, for your love, for your grace, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a stranger who decided one morning to go to a Quaker worship service. He came inside the meeting house. He went about midway down and sat down next to an older gentleman. He waited for 5 minutes, and nothing happened. He sat there for another 5 minutes, and nothing but silence. 15 minutes went by, nothing but silence. He finally leaned over to the gentleman next to him, and he said, "When does the service begin?" And the old Quaker man said, "When the worship ends." Quaker simplicity in their worship services is about quiet, about silence, about solitude. How many of you have been to Shaker Village up in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky? Anybody been up to the Shaker Village? I see a few of you. You need to go if you haven't. The Shakers. Who are the Shakers? If you know anything about the Shakers, they are a people of simplicity. There is an old Shaker song, "'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right." Simplicity. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. For the last 2 weeks, John has talked with us about prayer, about generosity, how we are to connect with God, how we are to be generous to our church, to our community, and to the world. Today, we're going to see how the word simplicity draws in both prayer and generosity. There's a connection between the two. As I mentioned, Shaker Village is in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky. The Shakers were known for shaking during worship. If you've ever been up to that place there, they do an interpretation of the songs that they sung, and they would have sung this, "'Tis a gift to be simple." The Shakers were agricultural. They were a people that dressed plainly. They made Shaker furniture. How many of you have a piece of Shaker furniture in your house? Okay. Nobody. Y'all need to find out about the Shakers. Y'all are missing out. They make good furniture. They're plain dressed. They make great furniture. Very community-oriented people. And they had a simple faith. Now, the Shakers came from what is known as the Quakers. You can understand Shakers, Quakers. The Quakers, most of you know a little bit about history, know that they came from, they were in the Pennsylvania area. William Penn was a famous Quaker. Quakers were also known for plain speech, plain dress, plain behavior. Back in the olden days, they would have wore black. Most of the time, the Shakers wore black. They would have had the oatmeal hat. Those of you that remember Quaker oats and the black hat, that is what the Shakers were like. And their worship was often very simple silence in worship. There's another place where the people are very simplistic, and that is in Etheridge, Tennessee. Anybody been to Etheridge, Tennessee? Okay, a few of you have been up there to Etheridge. The Amish. You know the Amish for riding in horse and buggies. They wear simple clothes, usually black also, some colored shirts. They're very agricultural, very simplistic in their living, no electricity. The Amish have a simple faith. A simple faith with God. This morning, as we talk about simplicity, we look at all of these three groups and we see, what do they have in common? What do these beliefs about living a simple life have to do with us today in Coleman, Alabama? You know, the Amish say that the outside culture has a polluting effect. In fact, they think that the outside culture promotes pride, greed, immorality, and materialism. Well, I hate to agree with them, but I think they're right. We can see that in our own culture. The Amish believe that they must follow the rules of the church during their lifetime, and associating with people outside of their culture has a downward effect on them. So many of you that have been to those areas, a lot of times you feel these people are very cold. They're just afraid of the culture affecting their lives. Community. Simplicity with God. Simplicity with the earth. Simplicity with one another. Now, these groups don't live perfect lives. They have struggles. They have trials. They have challenges. But all of these groups have several things in common. They've learned that life is about God and family, community, and helping each other. Think about the culture in which we live today. Many of us are overextended. We're chronically tired. We're weighed down with the pressures. There's always noise. There's always activity. There's always clutter. We're driven by appointment books and calendars. What do we do to slow down, to have a more simplistic life? Well, in our passage today, Jesus is talking about slowing down, about simplicity, because he says, do not worry. Many of the things we worry about are the things that keep us busy, the things that we think we have to have. Jesus says, don't worry about food or water or clothing. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, and he will provide. Did any of you have a hard time picking out your clothes this morning? Jesus said, don't worry about that. Think of who Jesus was talking to on the Sermon on the Mount. He was talking to a group of people who weren't sure where their next meal might come from. He was talking to a group of people that maybe had one change of clothes. He was talking to a group of people who had very few possessions. But Jesus has given them the words of life. He says, don't worry. God is going to take care of you. You know, when we have been reading this Matthew chapter 6 this whole past several weeks, Jesus has been teaching us about simplicity. You see, Jesus said, give to those in need. Jesus said, take time to pray. Jesus said, fast, and you will grow into spiritual maturity. Jesus said, store up heavenly treasures. Don't store up earthly pleasures. Jesus said, don't worry. 'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. Now, when we talk about simplicity, a lot of times people think of simple-mindedness. We all remember Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you might get. Or we think of Ernest T. Bass, who wants to tell Andy his sentence, and his sentence is, no hunt, beware, open and close, no credit. He just compiled a bunch of words together for no nonsense. Is simplicity returning to the lives of the Quakers and the Shakers and the Amish and the Mennonites? Or is it much more? You know, there's a movement now. If you go on the internet and type in the word simplicity, you will find that there are people moving back to the country. They want to homestead. They want to live off the grid. They want to build the solar-powered cabins, and they want to have chickens and goats, pigs and rabbits, and they want to grow a garden. Now, this is not all bad. In fact, some of this appeals to me. But is this what we mean when we say simplicity? Let me give you some words or some sentences to me that talk about simplicity. Simplicity is what the Westminster Confession says. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify God, enjoy Him forever. Simplicity is the first commandment. There is one God. We are to worship that God, and we are to have no idols. Simplicity is the passage we've been talking about for months, Living 6:5-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your strength. Simplicity is found in the passage today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His holiness. Simplicity is found when Jesus told the disciples, love God and love your neighbor. Simplicity. Loving God, connecting with Him, loving our neighbor, giving in generosity. You see, simplicity is learning to center our hearts and minds upon God's kingdom and His rule. It's learning to meditate, to read, to study, to connect with God every day. Simplicity is understanding that the way God thinks is the way we should think. The way God acts is the way we should act. The way God speaks is the way we should speak. Simplicity is understand that God wants us to live our lives and to prioritize our purpose here to build up His kingdom, to build up heavenly treasures. How many of you have stuffitis? Not sinusitis, but stuffitis. How many of you will go into your home and find things that seem to clutter up everything? Yesterday, we worked in a corner of the house all day to get rid of some stuff, to find other stuff that we'd put underneath that stuff. You see, our society is based on clutter and debt, and they bring stress. I have gotten more stressed in trying to find something that I couldn't or know where it was. Have you ever done that? Look through the house for hours trying to find one simple little thing? That's why I have 10 screwdrivers in the house. You see, simplicity is beginning to focus our relationships, our inner lives, our creative abilities to contribute to society. It's creating a real life purpose. It's not just about going to work or what we want to buy or what we want to consume. You know, with all the wealth that we have, with all the ability we have to go places and do things, do you know what the three most common prescribed drugs are? Ulcer medication, antidepressants, and pain relievers. In a society that has so much, these are the three main prescribed drugs. We're missing the mark. Many days, our lives are filled with a calendar and a clock that seem to be winning. How many of you remember the old typewriter? I remember in seventh grade punching on that old typewriter and hitting the return button. Well, now I've got a computer. I've got an iPad. And some of you have droids. Aren't they wonderful until they break down? Aren't they wonderful until you lose the data? Aren't they wonderful until you get tons of emails and texts and Twitters? Aren't they wonderful that now I don't have to leave my work at work? I can take it home and I can take it to the beach and I can take it to a restaurant. I thought computers were supposed to make our life easy. The writer in Ecclesiastes said, "This is all that I've learned. God made us plain and simple, but we made ourselves very complicated." God made us simple, but we made ourselves complicated. Do you know in the 1990s, in over a century, the work week increased? Over a century's worth of time, the work week increased in the 90s. This was supposed to be the age of less work. There was a study done by the Merck Family Fund, and they found that 68% of people wanted a more balanced life. 66% of people wanted more time to spend with their family. And 63% wanted less stress in their life. Did you know that 93% of teenage girls list going to shop at the mall as their number one activity? It's not surprising that 90% of the boys listed going to watch the girls shop as their activity. We're a consumer culture. We buy for our self-esteem. We buy to keep up with the Joneses. We buy because we believe that's what's going to make us happy. But Jesus says, where is your treasure? Your treasure, if it's on earth, will fail you. A great historian named Arnold Toynbee, he studied the rise and fall of 20 of the great civilizations. He found that the conquest of land or people was not the measure of their growth. The civilizations that thrived, the civilizations that moved forward, were characterized by strength in democracy, a sense of community, and developing their culture, music, art, drama, and literature. So let's get down to brass tacks. How do we have simplicity in our lives? It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to see what Jesus said about it, but how do we do it? You know, it's not hard. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. You see, what Jesus is saying is put trust in God. Put faith in God. Put confidence in God. You see, our goal is not to live poorly. Our goal is to live richly in the things that matter. What matters to you in your life? Is it God? Is it family? Is it generosity? connect with God. John talked about it 2 weeks ago. Connect with God in prayer. Where is your heart centered this morning? Do you have the peace that passes all understanding? Do you rest in green pastures? Do you know how to sit beside the still waters? Have you been to the garden alone to talk with Jesus? You see, prayer frees us from anxiety. Prayer frees us from trusting in things that moth and rust destroy. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You see, simplicity is simply centering on God. It's trusting in God. It's getting rid of the clutter and the busyness so that we can connect with God. Where is your center this morning? Simplicity is also, as John talked about last week, reaching out to those in need. St. Ambrose said, "We live simply that others may simply live." Yes, it's time to get in there and simplify your households. It's time to go in that closet that you haven't been in 5 years because you don't know what's in there and you're scared to take out the container. It's changing our schedules, our calendars, maybe our work, maybe what we buy. Maybe it's getting rid of that debt that has been over your shoulders for so long. You know, everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses, but the Joneses are just plain worn out. Simplicity. Christian Snyder is a plain-spoken Quaker. Listen to what he said about stuffitis. "If our time and money and energy are consumed in selecting, acquiring, maintaining, cleaning, moving, improving, replacing, dusting, storing, using, and showing off and talking about our possessions, then there's little time, money, and energy left to pursue God's kingdom. Simply being alive is a gift. 'Tis a gift to be simple. We center our hearts and minds on God, and we reach out to others with justice and mercy. It's loving God and loving your neighbor." There's an old hymn that George Beverly Shea used to sing. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything the world affords today." On the back of your order of worship, you'll see a list of about 5 things. Please don't try to do all 5. That wouldn't simplify your life. Pick 1, maybe 2 of those things. During this week, as we experience the spiritual discipline of simplicity, maybe sit down and meditate upon, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and let God speak to you. Maybe it is getting in that closet and, ladies, getting rid of those 50 purses or those 100 pair of shoes. Or, guys, getting rid of the 10 screwdrivers because you don't need all 10 of them. You only need 1. It's simplifying. It's centering on God, centering on generosity, and living a more simplistic life. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for today and the chance to be in your house. Father, may we learn the gift of simplicity, the gift that gives to others the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation, the true gift of life. Father, we now give back to you in a generous spirit as you have taught us. It is part of our worship to give to your kingdom. Our ushers come forward.